Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Thursday morning. We've got Pastor John English from Galloway Full Gospel Church there in Springfield, Missouri. And John comes on here every Thursday and preaches to us, brings us the word. He also sets on the Tuesday night question and answers with Brother Curtis. And been a blessing to the line. And I just thank God all the time for our paths crossing with Brother John. Good morning, Brother John. Glad to have you.
Wait a minute, Brother. It's like always, it's good to be with you guys. And this morning, I've got something in my heart that I just want to share. I don't know if we're really going to call it a sermon or a message or what we're going to call it. And I really don't know who it's going to be for. I don't know if it's going to be for somebody on this line or it's going to be for somebody that's going to listen at a later time or somebody's going to listen by a CD someday. But I believe that someone has got to hear the message that we're going to talk about this morning. And I'm telling you, I woke up this morning and God had laid heavy on my heart some thoughts that I feel like we need to consider, that each and every one of us in some way need to consider. And if I was going to title this message this morning, and this is going to sound kind of funny and maybe be a little bit simple, but if I was going to title this message this morning, I think that I would title it this way, and the title would be, We Better Get Ready. We Better Get Ready. And before I begin, I'm going to go ahead and pray just for a moment. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the touch of heaven that I already feel on this line this morning. God, I'm asking you for the next few moments that you would anoint my lips of clay. Lord, you would anoint the ears that might hear this message, whether it be this morning or later on today or at another time. I pray that, Father God, the same anointing of the Holy Spirit would go and would be felt and would be known, and that it would destroy the yoke of bondage. And I pray, Father God, that you would open our eyes and that you would give us revelation. I'm asking, Father, that you would touch, that you would bind every hindrance, that you would curse every lie of the devil. Lord, we thank you for these things, and we give you the praise and you the glory. I was thinking about a title this morning as God was laying this on my heart, and I feel very strongly that this is an urgent message for someone. And I thought about that title, We Better Get Ready. Now, to begin, I want to say this morning that I hope and I pray that you can truly discern what I'm trying to say this morning when I say that at this very moment while we are on this line, as we are listening to the words of this message, and as Brother Curtis was singing the song, and as later on we'll get together and we'll pray, at the very moment that we are on this line this morning, that we are living in the very most critical hour of human history that there's ever been, that we are at this very moment living in the most pivotal, the most important, the most vital, and even in many ways the most frightening hour of human history. I was thinking back just this morning of all of the different critical hours that have taken place in the history of this world. There have been many critical moments. There have been many days that were turning points in this world. Many times we look back over the history of our world and there were great events and there were many tragic events that shaped the history of mankind. I tell you this morning that as we are standing here looking towards the rest of the year 2015, and as we are looking towards what is taking place and all of the things that are happening around us and all of the events that are unfolding before our eyes, I absolutely believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that we are in the most critical moment in the history of our world. In the history of mankind, there has never been a moment that is more critical and more important, more vital than the one that we are living in right now. And I know that most of you would probably agree with me when I say this, and you've heard me say this before, that I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we are living in the very closing moments of history. That we are right now today at the very door. We are at that midnight hour. Somebody asked me the other day what time did I think it was, and I told them that I felt like it had to be 11:59, that we are just about at that midnight hour, that we are at the very doorway. We are we are just before the closing moments of the history of mankind. I'm going to tell you this morning, that is a statement that cannot be made lightly. That is also a statement that cannot be heard lightly. That we must, with our hearts, we must discern and we must understand the importance and the weight of that statement. And to realize that of all of the years that have existed and of all the men that have lived and died and of all the things that have happened, that we are that generation, that I believe without a shadow of a doubt that we are those people who will witness the very closing moments of the history of this world. And that's why that I believe that we are living in the most critical hour in the history of our world. That at this very moment we are just beyond the events that will absolutely change the course of history. And most of us would agree that we're living in the end times, that we are watching things unfold before our eyes, and that there is soon to be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the church soon be raptured out of this world. And then this world will face things that we've never dreamed in our lifetime. But I want to read a scripture this morning before I go any further, because I feel like the Lord is trying to say something this morning. And you know, the other night on the question and answer session, we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, and we dealt with the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. 5 of them were ready and 5 of them were not, but all of them were virgins. Every one of them knew that Jesus, that the bridegroom was coming. Everyone knew that they should be ready, but 5 made it and 5 did not. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. 5 were watching for the bridegroom, and 5 they were watching something else. And I thought about this, and as God started to lay this message on my heart, and God took me back to the book of Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 32. And this is a verse concerning the end times and concerning our discernment and our recognition of what's taking place right before our eyes. The Bible says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled." And as we are looking at this scripture, and as we are beginning to consider the fact that we are living in the closing moments of human history, we've got to realize that the Word of God gives us that clear distinction, that we are to look at the fig tree, and as we see the fig tree and as we see it, that it begins to put forth its leaves, then we can, in our natural heart, we can begin to discern that summer is very close. That is something that every one of us understand as we look out at this world and we see the trees begin to bloom and we see the flowers begin to come back and we see the seasons begin to change and the birds begin to chirp and the sun is shining and everything's changing. We realize and we discern in our hearts that spring is just around the corner and that summer is very close. And we begin to discern that in our hearts by what we see with our eyes, by what we hear with our ears, and through our natural senses we begin to understand that summer is just around the corner. But then the Bible goes on to say that so likewise, when you begin to see certain things come to pass in this world, you will then know, you will then discern in your heart that the coming of the Lord, that the end of all things is just around the corner. This morning, I truly want to say that we are living in that critical hour just before the coming of the Lord and the end of everything that we know. And I do, again, not make that statement lightly. And I want you to recognize this morning, every person that's listening, every person that may listen in the future, that there will come a day when I will get on this line and I will preach this kind of message for the last time. There's going to come a day when I will get in my pulpit and I will preach this kind of a message to my church for the last time. There's going to come a day when your preacher or your pastor will one more time get up and preach this kind of a message, and then the end will come. And we've got to realize this morning that these events that are unfolding before our eyes, they are Bible prophecy being fulfilled before us, that we are witnessing things that the prophets of old, that men and women of God for years have prophesied they would come. Today, right before our eyes, they are coming to pass. And this is a sign to us that the end is very near. So yes, we're living in a critical hour, the most critical hour in the history of this world. And as we look out and recognize the things that are taking place before us, each one of them are fulfilling prophecies that have been foretold concerning the last days. We can look out at the condition of society. We see the condition of our governments. Nations are rising against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. There's earthquakes in diverse places. There's famines. There's pestilences. There's the enemy and the darkness and the powers of hell are rising up today more than they've ever risen up before in the history of our world. I believe right now, if God was to allow the veil to be pulled from our eyes, and if we were to see beyond this realm, and if we were to look into the supernatural realm, and if we were to catch a glimpse of what was taking place, I believe that it would shock us. It might even scare us or frighten us if we were to see just how powerful the enemy is today, just how strong the forces of the enemy is marching through this land. If we were to see the spiritual wickedness, if we were to see the powers and the principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world, hear me this morning, they are marching through the land unhindered, and they have gained more power than we may ever believe. Right now, as we're on this line, spiritual wickedness in the high places is at work in the world that we're living in. Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, they are working hard now to deceive, to destroy, and to put to death. We are watching the events unfold in the natural and in the supernatural realm. We are watching the power of the enemy gain strength, and the weapons of the enemy are being turned even against the body of Christ. People are being deceived, and they're being more deceived. Much of the church today has lost its way. The people that are lost without God, they are getting more lost by the day. They are bound by the lies of the devil. Even the light of hope in man's eyes is beginning to dim. We are watching as the church has begun to turn its back on the ways of God. And in the midst of everything we are seeing, we've got to realize that it's taking place in the most critical hour of human history, and we have a responsibility to understand and discern the times that are set before us. Because I tell you today, again, let me say it, there's going to come a time when this kind of message will be preached one more time, and then the end will come. And then there will be no more preaching of this message. And then there will be no more warnings. And there will be no more trumpets being sounded to warn the people. There will be no more alarms, because the day will come. You know, the Bible tells us that Moses was commissioned to build an ark because of the flood that was coming. And no, it had never rained on the earth up until that time. But the Bible tells us that the earth up until that time was watered with mist. So there are no other the preacher of righteousness was building an ark, a boat. He was building a boat on dry ground, and as people would walk by, he would proclaim and preach to them that he was preparing an ark because it was going to rain. And he was proclaiming righteousness unto them. And I believe with all of my heart that people must have mocked him, and they must have laughed at him, and that they must have said, Noah, that has never happened in the world before. What do you mean it's going to rain? But I believe without a shadow of a doubt that as Noah preached and proclaimed the word, that there came a time when he proclaimed the word for the last time. And then the Bible says that the rain began to fall, and that the great fountains of the deep, they were broken up. And the Bible says that God shut the door of the ark. And then it was too late. There was no more warning. There was no more preaching. Noah, who stood high atop that boat and warned and proclaimed and sounded the alarm, his voice had grown silent because God had shut the door. And I believe tonight, I believe this morning, that there's coming a day when the voice of the preachers of righteousness will grow silent, because there will be no more warning. There will be no more word. There will be no more trumpet being sounded to warn the people, because it will be too late. That's why the Bible says concerning the 10 virgins at that midnight hour, behold, the cry came forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And 5 heard the cry, and they were ready, and the door was opened up to them. But then the door was closed, and the 5 foolish virgins came along behind. They had missed the warning. They had missed their opportunity, and they went and they beat upon the door, and they said, let us in. But it was too late. Understand me this morning. I have no doubt that maybe everyone on this line today, maybe you're a child of God, maybe you believe in God's word, and maybe you love the Lord Jesus Christ, but you hear me this morning, there will come a time when the warnings will no longer be heard. Because Jesus, he will come back, and that door will be closed. And we have truly got to understand and discern the hour in which we're living. I know we hear about it. I know we talk about it. But do we live like we know the truth, that this is that most critical hour in the history of the world, in the history of mankind? We hear it, we say amen when we hear it preached, we talk about it, but do we live like this is the closing moments of history? And I'm telling you, the enemy's marching forward. The lost are more lost today than they've ever been. Bondage and wickedness and perversion. You think Sodom and Gomorrah was bad? They've got nothing on us today. We look at what's taking place, the things that are being accepted and condoned, the wicked imagination of man's heart. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says in Noah's time that man's heart was evil and wicked, and continually that's all they had, vile and wicked imaginations. And let me stop and tell you that as you look around the world, and society, and even in the church, hear me, we are watching man's heart grow more wicked by the day. But not only is wickedness growing and gaining strength in the world, but as the Bible says, it says that there would be a great falling, a great departing from the truth, a great falling away, that men, the Bible says that the church would have itching ears, and they would turn away from the truth and heap to themselves teachers, that would give heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of devils. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you've got to realize all of these things are happening right now before our eyes. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to look out and realize that the end is near. It doesn't take someone with a college education to look out and discern that the end is near. Let me tell you, every person on this line, every person that may listen tomorrow on the playback, every person that may slip a CD in their truck, every one of you know your heart already discerns that something's wrong. You already realize that the end is near. No, you may not be a Bible college student. You may not be a preacher of the gospel. Maybe you just heard. Maybe one time your mother took you to church and you heard a message about the last days. But in your heart today, you know that something is different. Something is wrong. Something is about to happen. And I'll tell you what that something is. We are coming very close to the closing moments of history. And as the title said, we better get ready. We better get ready. We better discern the times. We better recognize what God is trying to do. We better recognize the lies and the tools of the devil. We better recognize the weapons of the enemy that have been turned against us. Ready, they are locked and they are loaded, ready to use against us. We better recognize the hour in which we are living. That unless the Bible says that we are to watch and to pray, lest we are caught unaware, that we might pray and ask that we might be worthy to be escaping these things that are taking place before our eyes. Hear me. The Bible says that the adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That we are to be sober. We are to be vigilant. We are to be watching. Our eyes are to be open. We are to be discerning, lest we be deceived. The Bible says in the last days that even the very elect, even the children of God, even the ones that go to church every Sunday, even the ones that maybe know their word, even the very elect will be deceived if possible. And oh, sometimes do we not find comfort in the fact that we've gone to church for years, or that we get on the line every other day, or that we understand some of the word, and we find comfort in that fact. But don't you know that the Bible warns us that even the very elect, even those who may know the truth, even those, even some of those five virgins that were foolish, even they could be deceived if possible in these last days. Oh, the devil is a master at deception. He is a crafty and a cunning enemy that knows how to twist the word and knows how to lie and bring a veil over the eyes of God's people. The Bible tells us very clearly that there is a state into which we might enter in, where we are lukewarm, where we know the truth, but we're not living the truth. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but again, let me go back to the title of my message. We better get ready for what's coming. We don't have a choice. I mean, I guess we could duck our head in the sand like an ostrich, and we could hope that it passes us by, but it will not. I suppose that we could turn a deaf ear to the warning of God's word, hoping that maybe it'll pass us by, but it won't. I guess that we could go on about our lives and pretend like everything's all right, but the truth is, everything's not all right. We've got to understand, recognize, discern, open our eyes, truly look and realize that summer is nigh, that the coming of the Lord is nigh, that the end of everything that we've ever known is coming. I mean, that things are changing rapidly before our eyes. And today, as I said in the title, yes, we better get ready for what's coming. We better prepare our hearts. Number one, let me say this, and I truly do feel like somebody's listening this morning, or maybe by playback or even by CD, you're going to hear this message. And as you hear this message, you are going to know that your heart's not right. You're going to know. You're going to feel that conviction power of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother English, you're judging me. No, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that judges the heart of man. And many of you, some of you here that are listening today or maybe at a later time, as you hear this message, you are feeling the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you know the Word. Maybe you go to church. But you know that your heart's not right. You know that things are not right between between you and God. I tell you this morning that the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Something I said the other night on the question and answer session. I said 5 minutes after the rapture, the churches of our city will be filled to capacity. What are you talking about, preacher? There's so many people out there that know enough of the word, that have been to church enough times, that when the rapture takes place, they're going to run to that building, but it will be too late. And somebody on this line today, somebody that's listening by playback, somebody that will listen to this CD, as you're hearing this message, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is grabbing your heart right now. And you recognize that your heart is not right with God and that you're not ready for what is coming. Oh, I know what it is to look out at these things and to feel fearful. I know what it's like to look into the eyes of those who I preach this message to and to see fear in their eyes. The other day, I was sitting at the table with my mother, and we were going over some of the things that were taking place in these last days. And even in my mother's eyes, a saint of God, a prayer warrior, even in her eyes, I could begin to see a little bit of fear come up, because it's that unknown. It's that warning that we've heard so many times. But oh, hear me this morning. Yes, you may look out at what's coming to pass on this earth, and fear may grip your heart, but do not let that lie of the devil stop you from making things right before it's too late. As I said before, Noah, there came a time when he proclaimed the message one more time, and those who mocked him, they walked away one last time, and then the door was shut. There came a time when those five foolish virgins left to go try and grab oil to get ready. But as they came back, they found that they had missed their opportunity. And somebody, I tell you this morning, I know that most of you probably, maybe you're ready. And oh, if you're ready to meet Jesus, then there's nothing in this world to be more thankful of. If you're ready, there's nothing in this world to be more proud of, to know that your heart is right with God, to know that you can lay your head down on your pillow at night, and with peace you can fall asleep. If you're ready, it's something that you must be able to thank God for. You must, every day of your life, thank God for that precious blood that washed you white as snow. And if you're ready, praise God. If you're ready, you ought to shout hallelujah. If you're ready, you ought to recognize what's taking place, and you ought to give glory to God that the day is coming when you're going to see him face to face. But if you're not ready, hear me this morning, fear should grip your heart to know that you are in a position to miss the greatest event that ever took place in the history of this world, and that you might be caught unaware. What a tragedy to know and to not be ready. It's one thing, what a tragedy it would be for the sinner to not be ready, but they never knew. It would still be a tragedy for the one that had never heard the gospel to never have a chance to give their life to the Lord. What a tragedy it would be for them to not be ready and for them to someday spend eternity in hell. But oh, how much greater would the tragedy be for one that has heard, for one that has been to church, for one that has been on this line and they've heard the warning of God's word. For them not to be ready, there is no greater tragedy. And we have got to be ready for what's about to take place in this world. We have this idea that maybe somehow life's just going to go on as it has always gone on before, but that's a lie of the devil. That's deception. That's a trick of the enemy. We've got to realize that the hour is very late. And the moment is very close when we will be faced with a decision to either enter in or to miss the boat. And somebody on this line, somebody listening in the future, you know as I am preaching that your heart is not right. You say, Brother English, what do I do? I don't feel ready. My heart's not right. I know that the end is near, and I want to make things right with God. What do I do? I'll tell you. Run to the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus came, that he shed his innocent blood, that he is our ark of safety. Understand that your ark of safety is not a church building. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's not even this telephone line. But your ark of safety is Jesus Christ. And because of his shed blood at the cross, you can run to him this morning. You can bow down at his feet. At the foot of Calvary, you can lay down your sins. You can come to Christ in Jesus' name. You can repent of your ways. You can turn your heart back to the Lord. And although the enemy may have raged against you, he may have fought against you, he may have lied to you, you can come to Jesus today before it's too late. I don't doubt one moment that had Noah stood on top of that ark and proclaimed the warning, I don't doubt for one moment that if one of those people would have said, yes, Noah, I believe, I want to get on the ark, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that they could have walked onto that ark before the door was closed. And I tell you this morning, yes, the hour is late. The devil may tell you that you've got 3, 5, 10 more years. The devil may tell you that things aren't going to change. But hear this preacher one more time. We are at that critical hour. A decision must be made now before it's too late. And if God is convicting your heart, if God is dealing with you this morning, and you know that your heart's not right with God, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day to run to the ark of safety, Jesus Christ. But every one of us, not only the ones that aren't ready, but every one of us, we've got to get ready. We've got to prepare ourselves, even for the seasoned believers that have been in church for years, and even for the ones that get on the line every day, even for the ones who know Christ and they know the Word and you're walking in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God that I know the Word and that I go to church. But we have a responsibility, each and every one of us, to get ready for what's coming. Because the Bible, again, let me say it, the Bible's clear, saying that even the very elect will be deceived if possible. And I'm telling you today that the devil, understand this, the adversary of our soul, the thief, the liar, the robber, the murderer, the accuser of the brethren, he is marching with great strength today. And even the very elect, even the preacher, even the church member, even the one that knows the Word, even they could be deceived if possible. You understand, the five foolish, they were also virgins. They also knew that the bridegroom was coming, but they weren't ready. Understand, every one of us, it doesn't matter how long we've been in church, we have a responsibility to get ready for what's coming. You say, Brother English, what's coming? I'll tell you right now, we think we've seen bad things so far. I believe we've not seen anything yet. I believe that there are very dark days coming to this world. I believe that there is persecution coming against the body of Christ. I believe that we are going to watch as darkness, wickedness, and perversion reaches a new, higher level than we've ever known. And understand me again one more time, we have to be ready for what's coming. The hour is growing very late. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it this morning. I don't know how else to proclaim the warning. The Bible says when the watchman looks out and sees danger, that he has to lift up his voice, sound the trumpet, to let the warning be heard. and I don't know how else but to get on this line and to proclaim the word of God, that hopefully, that maybe something will begin to shake inside of us, that we may, that our eyes just might be opened, and we would have supernatural revelation that would shake us to the very core of who we are, that would not only change our confession, but it would change how we live our everyday lives. As a child of God, as a believer, let me tell you that our prayer closet should be heavy with a burden to pray. That we every day must guard our hearts. We must guard ourselves. We must guard our spirits. That we, as children of God, again, I'm speaking to the ones that know Jesus. You know, we've already dealt with the one that's not ready, but for those who know Jesus, who go to church, who suppose that everything's all right in their hearts, we better be ready for what's coming, because that lying devil will come, and he will make every attempt to deceive you. He will make every attempt to make us lose our way. But, oh, don't you know that the Bible says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that in the midst of every trial and tribulation, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of all the wickedness and the darkness that is covering the earth like a blanket, that we are to look to Jesus Christ, that we are to firmly fix our eyes upon the Lord and do not allow ourselves to be deceived in these last days. We have a responsibility. We better get ready for what's coming. And finally, listen, more than a sermon, this is a word from God to someone listening on this line. Yes, if your heart's not right, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. And yes, even if you are what we call a good Bible-believing Christian, you better be ready for what's coming. Because the Bible tells me, listen to this, that many would depart from the faith, fall away, that men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking after those things which are coming up on the earth, that even the very elect will be deceived if possible. But oh, for the one that's not ready, for you to make your heart right, praise God. And oh, for the believer, for you to guard your heart and to be sure that you are ready, praise God. But I'll tell you, the most tragic of it all is that we all know someone that's not ready. We all have family members and loved ones and friends and acquaintances and co-workers that without a doubt they're not ready to meet God. And here we are, listen, we are in a burning building that's about to come down, and we know where the exit is. When that building comes crumbling down, how many people do we know are going to be caught in the rubble of that debris? Oh, I tell you, we better get ready for what's coming. Get your own heart right. Make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that convicting power of the Holy Ghost is resting heavy upon your heart, come to him this morning. If you're a believer and if you're walking in the Spirit and you know the Word, guard your heart that you might be ready in that day. But not only that, every one of us, we know someone that will be caught in the debris of that building when it comes crumbling down, when that fire consumes them. We may make it out. We may know where the exit is, but we know someone that will be left behind. We have a responsibility to do everything we can do to grab them by the hand and to lead them out ourselves. Hear me. We're living in that most critical hour, an hour of which we have never seen before. Prophets have proclaimed the days that we are living in. They have, for thousands of years, looked towards this day. We are now upon that day. And I tell you that the ark, the doorway of the ark is about to close. That the cry is about to come forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and it will be too late. But thank God this morning we still have time. Thank God this morning the message is being proclaimed again, and there's still time to make sure that we're ready. We better get ready today before it's too late. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray for three different things, and I want you to join me in prayer wherever you are, whatever you're doing, even if you're listening to the playback or CD. I want you to join me as we pray. First of all, to the one that has heard this message and your heart has been convicted and you know that you're not right with Jesus Christ, hear me this morning. You can turn to him now. You say, but Brother English, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how bad I've messed up. And you're right, I don't know, but I do know that there is a God in heaven that is full of mercy and grace, and he is longing to hold you in his arms. He is longing to come to you and to wash you in the blood and to make things right. Let's pray for that person now, and if that's you, and if you have felt that conviction, and if you know that your heart's not right, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to simply say this prayer with me. Say it out loud. Follow along with me. Let's say it together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I confess I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I confess Jesus Christ with my mouth. And I believe in my heart. And I am asking you today to become the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Change me. Let me be your child. From this moment forward, let my heart be ready to meet you. I ask you again to forgive me, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And Father, I pray for the person that may have prayed that prayer with me this morning, that, oh God, you would deal with their heart, and that, God, you would wrap your arms of love around them this very day. And that, God, you would make sure that they're ready when the hour comes. That they are ready for what's coming. That, God, you would deal with them. That you would bless them. That you would strengthen them. That you would teach them. That you would give them your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father God, that you would walk with them and talk with them. And, Father, for the one that's listening on the line today, maybe they do believe, maybe they do go to church, maybe they walk in the Spirit, but, Father, I pray, oh, God, now, even now, that you would set a guard upon their hearts, that you would guard our hearts for, God, what is coming, for what's coming to pass on this earth in these last days. I pray that you would supernaturally strengthen us to stand against the wiles of the devil, that we would be found worthy to escape in that moment. Let us not be deceived. Let us not be distracted. Let us not lose our way. But, oh God, let us be ready for what's coming. And God, for our loved ones, for our friends, our family, our co-workers, for those who are going to be left behind in that burning building, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would give us the courage to reach back our hand and to grab them before it's too late, that you would give us the courage, oh God, to proclaim your word, that you would give us the strength, oh God, to fall upon our knees and to weep between the porch and the altar, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for those that are not ready. Help us, oh God, to be ready for what's coming. Each and every one of us, Lord. And Father, I will thank you for this. I give you the praise. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. pretty sobering message this morning. I tell you, brother, when you first started to speak, I could feel the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to say that anybody listening, don't take this lightly. And if you prayed that prayer with Brother John, or maybe you didn't and you wished you had of, and maybe you want someone to pray with you in person or you have questions or you just need to talk to somebody, feel free to call 816-729-6649. 816-729-6649. Be glad to talk with you, pray with you, visit with you, discuss and explain the prayer that you just spoke. And we have some literature for you, a Bible and some other literature to help you in your walk, and be glad to share that with you as well. We also have a variety of different messages on CD from Brother John and other speakers and people from the line. You can call that same number if you want some of those, or you're interested in more about what goes on the line and want to be a part of it. You can call that number as well, or you can write us at P.O. Box 136, Bates City, Missouri, 64011. And also, I'd like to encourage you, if you're ever in Springfield, Missouri, to go visit Brother John at Galloway Full Gospel. And I thank you all for joining us this morning at Standing Hands of God Highway Ministries. God bless.